and has been doing since the beginning. We begin to paint this picture by looking at this loving God who loved us so much that he would send his one and only son to die for us. So he would go at such great lengths to get his creation that fails him time and time and time again. And he does that through a process called redemption. And that's what we're going to be talking about this morning. I remember the first time I heard this story, and I was utterly shocked and totally blown away. But there was a missionary in the 60s who graduated from Bible college, went to the Dutch New Guinea area to a tribe called the Sawi, and he began to live amongst them. And he began to find ways to tell them the story of the Bible. But the Sawi were a very dark and evil people. They joyed in treachery. There was one process that they would go through where a member of one tribe would befriend a member of another tribe and make him feel like they were friends. They would go through this whole long relationship. And then the first man who befriended the man would kill him and then eat him. And this was a great honor. And the more treacherous it was, the more, like, the deeper the plans were. I mean, the more thought out, methodical it was, the greater the honor. And as Don Richardson began to tell his story, to the story of the Bible to the Sawi, he realized as he was proclaiming the gospel that they began to see Judas as the hero because of how treacherous he was to Jesus. And he was like, I don't know what to do. I mean, like, totally fed up, tells the leaders of the tribe that he's going to leave. And, you know, and with a missionary comes a lot of things that a tribal group doesn't have. And so they were afraid that they were going to lose the ease that he brought with them, steel tools and cooking and all these things that he brought. And so they reached back into their history, and they went through this process called the Peace Child. I think we have a picture of the Peace Child, a Peace Child ceremony. And what the Peace Child ceremony is that one tribe would take an infant and give it to another tribe as a sacrifice, not as a sacrifice to kill, but a sacrifice from the tribe. And they would give this Peace Child over to the tribe who they were enemies with, and it would create peace. And between them, they would have this whole concept of peace. The treachery would be gone. They would look out for one another. They wouldn't be after one another. And anytime tensions would rise, they would always refer back to this Peace Child, this Peace Child. And what Don Richardson realized was this beautiful redemption analogy in which God and man were enemies, and he offers this Peace Child. And he began to tell the story to the Sawi, and the Sawi began to change and transform and accept the gospel through this redemption analogy. Richardson spent many years on the mission field, came back to the States to do research and to teach missions work in Bible college. And what he found was that time and time again, people group after people group had redemption analogies built into their culture. There was something in it. There was some form of redemption, no matter how treacherous they were, no matter how evil they were. There was always this story that they would tell, that they would share, of redemption that had been planted in the hearts of all of these people. And I don't think our culture is any different. So this morning I'm going to ask you this question, and then we're going to get started, because this is the way I think, most of the way I think that our culture sees these things. But when have you noticed a theme of redemption in maybe a movie or a book or a TV show that you've watched, or maybe multiples of them? So turn the people close to you, think through the TV shows that you watch, the movies that you've seen, the books that you've read, and the Bible doesn't count. Just put it out there for you guys. I don't want to hear, oh, the Bible. course, the Bible. But other ways, what themes of redemption have you seen? And we'll get back started in just a moment. Pray these superheroes to Jesus. I don't know if you saw one of the, I'm not a big Superman fan. I just wasn't my kind of guy. I already have a savior, so I kind of, you know, I went and found other kinds of comic heroes to go after. But they keep remaking these movies, right? I mean, Christopher Reeve was such a good Superman, but you know, they got to keep it coming back, and they keep it coming back. And they did one a couple years ago called Man of Steel. And there were so many redemptive analogies. This picture's a little hard to see. It's a screenshot. But if you can see, Superman is on a cross. He's floating in outer space as if he is on a cross. And they said multiple times throughout the movie, does he strike this pose? What about this one? He's deciding what he's going to do. And who's that in the background? Oh, it's Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. But so many times our movies hint this way. Who is Superman? Superman is considered one of the only powerful enough to defeat the leader of darkness and evil. C.S. Lewis, he wrote The Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, and we have Aslan, a larger-than-life lion character who bargains with the White Witch and trades his innocent life for the guilty life of Edmund and is sacrificed on his behalf. Matt said, Tolkien in The Lord of the Rings, Gandalf gives his life for his friends and the continuation of their quest. Dumbledore in Harry Potter is the ultimate sacrifice so that Harry can continue to battle against Voldemort, the Lion King. You didn't see this one coming, the Lion King. Mustafa's love for his son leads him to rescue Simba from a stampede. And when he is in the process, he's trampled. He's too weak to fight, and he loses a battle to Scar and consequently dies. See, in our society, in our culture, we find these redemption analogies, and they come out in creative ways in our movies, in our music, in our TVs. I've told you that our superheroes aren't superheroes. They're saviors. We flock to these movies. I mean, think about this. We flock to movies about planets in perils, people who need to be saved, and larger-than-life heroes. The Avenger movies came out one last year and then one 2 years before that. A band of superheroes, because one guy wasn't strong enough to take on the evil in the world. It took a whole team of them. $2.5 billion in the movie theaters. People flocked to see about a planet in peril, people who needed to be saved, and larger-than-life heroes that can defeat evil. Subconsciously, our people know that we need a savior, someone to redeem us, and that is the good news that we proclaim. Almost from the beginning, think about this, almost from the beginning of God's story has there been redemption. His people left his promised land during a famine. They moved down to Egypt. They gained the favor of a pharaoh, and everything was wonderful till that pharaoh died. And then there's a new pharaoh who doesn't know the last pharaoh, doesn't care about the last pharaoh, and care about the favor of these people, but he becomes scared of them. He becomes scared of this large number of Israelites, so scared of them that he enslaves them. And God's first portrait of redemption comes out 425 years in Egypt, and the Lord goes and redeems his people. Exodus chapter 8 says this, I will make a clear distinction between my people and your people. And this miraculous sign will happen tomorrow. What is this clear distinction? That word distinction is redemption. He redeemed his people. He went in and gained his people back. He took them forcefully out of the hand of a people who would not let them go, people who oppressed and enslaved his people in a foreshadow, that foreshadow being physical slavery to what we know we would come to be in our time is a spiritual slavery. Isaiah captures this beautiful statement of the Lord's redeeming work in Isaiah 52. Wake up, wake up, O Zion. Clothe yourself with strength. Put on your beautiful clothes. O holy city of Jerusalem, for unclean and godless people will enter your gates no longer. Rise from the dust, O Jerusalem. Sit at a place of honor. Remove the chains of slavery from your neck. O captive daughter of Zion, for this is what the Lord says. When I sold you into exile, I received no payment, and now I can redeem you without having to pay for you. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Long ago, my people chose to live in Egypt, and now they are oppressed by the Assyrians. What is this? Asked the Lord. Why are my people enslaved again? Those who rule them shout with exultation. My name is blasphemed all day long, but I will reveal my name to my people, and they will come to know its power. Then at last they will recognize that I am the one who speaks to them. How beautiful on the mountains are the feet of the messenger who brings good news. The good news of peace and salvation. News that God, that the God of Israel reigns. Watchmen shout and sing with joy, for before their eyes, their very eyes, they see the Lord returning to Jerusalem. Let the ruins of Jerusalem break into joyful song, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has demonstrated his holy power before the eyes of all the nations. All the ends of the earth will see the victory of our God. Get out, leave your captivity where everything you touch is unclean. Get out of there and purify yourselves, you who carry home the sacred objects of the Lord. You will not leave in a hurry running for your lives, for the Lord will go ahead of you. Yes, the Lord, the God of Israel, will protect you from behind. What a beautiful image that the Isaiah captures of what redemption work God had done. Even though his people had forsaken him, even though they had chose to worship other gods, and then so were disciplined and sent into slavery in Assyria and Babylon, God went and redeemed his people. He pulled them out of godless nations. He says, get out and leave your captivity where everything you touch is unclean. Get out of there and purify yourselves. Prophetic words, not just for the Israelites and the Hebrews and the Jews, but for us. For we know throughout the Old Testament and the New Testament, we see God's plan of redemption. One that started out before the world was even formed and will be carried out until the new heavens and the new earth are created. Ephesians chapter 1 says, he is rich in his kindness and grace, that he purchased our freedom with the blood of his son and forgave our sins. I was reading a story about this boy who took time to meticulously build this model boat, perfectly built this model boat, seaworthy boat. And he went in after it was built and he put it in the water. But he didn't realize that the weather was stirring and the current was a little too strong for the string that he had in his hand. And it ripped the string out of his hand and the boat just went rushing down the river. And he runs along the side of the river as long as he can before he loses sight of this boat. And he thought, all is lost. All that time, all that energy. He loved that boat so much. A couple days later, he was walking through town and he happened to look in the store window of a consignment type shop and he sees this boat, this beautiful boat, his boat. And he walks in and he says, hey, that's my boat. And the guy who owned the store says, but I paid for it. It's my boat. And he says, how much do you want for your boat? The man says, $2. The boy went home and scraped together everything that he had so that he could go back and pay this man for his boat. And it says the boy loved his boat so much, not only did he make his boat, but he paid for his boat. That is a story of redemption. That is the story of the good news of the Bible. He is so rich in his kindness and grace that he purchased our freedom, the blood of his son, and forgave us of our sins. That's this beautiful story of redemption. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. God sent his son in the world not to judge the world, but to save the world through him. God not only created us, but paid for us by giving his son to purchase us back. Romans chapter 3 says, "For everyone has sinned, all have fallen short of God's glorious standard. Yet God freely and graciously declares that we are righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as a sacrifice for sin. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. This sacrifice shows that God was being fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past. All have fallen short of the glory of God, but that's not where the story ends. A story of redemption is what comes out of that. For God freely and graciously declares us righteous." Think about these words. Think about this meaning, how meaningful redemption is. I mean, how big a deal redemption is for us. This morning, we're painting this picture of God's redemptive work. We want to help people see that redeemed people redeem people. It's not just about us. It's not just that we were redeemed. But what are we going to do with that? I mean, what are we going to do with these verses that share about how God loved his people so much that he gave his only son? Redeemed people redeem people. This is the mission of God. We've said this before. The church doesn't have a mission. The mission of God has a church. The story of redemption isn't just a story that we keep to ourselves or that we hold inside of these walls, but one that we proclaim throughout the world, telling this good news. 2 Timothy 2:6 says this, "He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. This is the message God gave to the world at just the right time." This is the message that God gave to the world at just the right time. I'm not a big Survivor TV show fan, so I didn't really know who this guy was when I found and stumbled upon this clip. But I guess there was a survivor that was called Redemption Island. How fitting. But not just so much that there was a TV show and it happened to have a redemption in its title, but this story that comes out of it. This is a beautiful story. This kid, his name is Matt Elrod, 22 years old when he went on Survivor, and he shares a little bit of his story from that, and I wanted to share that with you guys this morning.
As I was preparing for the show...
Oh, sorry, I was going to jam out there for a moment. Thought they were playing music to get me going, like, let's work it up, Ben. Go. But it was interesting that he said, this is exactly where God wanted me. Even in the midst of this TV show, God was getting at the attention of somebody. He used something like Redemption Island to actually redeem someone. This morning, my challenge to you is that you would live a redeemed life. Go ahead and write that down. Live a redeemed life. It's a decision, a conscious decision, an intentional decision to live for God every single day. 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, "For God bought you with a high price, so you must honor God with your body." How do we live this redeemed life? We give our lives to Jesus. We give him our all. We don't own our life any longer, but we give it to him, and we let him direct it and him guide it. It is his. And if we're honest with ourselves, when we ask ourselves, is this the life that I really want to live? Is it working out the way that I had hoped? Do I feel fulfilled, or do I feel satisfied? When we're honest with ourselves, the answer is no. But what do we have to lose but to give our life to Jesus? to be redeemed. To live a redeemed life is not flashy or up front in front of anybody. To live a redeemed life is to do the things that we constantly encourage, to spend time in prayer, to spend time asking God, what is your will for my life? What ways do I need to line myself up with you? To look at the Bible and see how does our lives line up with who Jesus was and what he called for us to do. When we see the ways that they don't line up, we make the hard decision and we ask God for strength to fix it. And then slowly but surely, because God is faithful, he never gives up, our lives begin to look differently. This is what Eugene Peterson calls long obedience in the same direction. Jesus came to bring redemption. That's what this whole season is about. This is the whole Christmas story is a story of redemption. Jesus started off his ministry talking about redemption. Luke chapter 4 says this, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he has anointed me to bring the good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that the captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, that the time of the Lord's favor has come." Jesus knew that his role was redemption. Next week, we're going to take a closer look at the life of Jesus as we continue to get back to this simple Christmas idea, stripping everything off that doesn't belong so that we can see how glorious it is, how glorious this plan of God's, this mission that he's on to redeem his people through his son. And we can begin to focus on the real reason for this season. At the bottom of your sermon notes is a prayer that we ask that you guys would pray with us, and I ask that you pray with me right now. God, I want to live my life knowing that I have been redeemed. Help me to understand the price that was paid and give me the strength to live out that understanding every day. Father, this is our prayer. This is our heart, so that we would understand the price that was paid. I know too often when I look back on my own life, I look back at times where I don't even think about the price that was paid. That isn't even on the forefront of my mind. It's easy, God, to get comfortable. And we don't want to be comfortable. We don't want to be complacent in our faith. Father, as we work our way through this season, as we think about what this is all about, that you sent your son Jesus to die for us, that you sent him into this world, that he entered this world as a little babe, grew up to be just like us, went through the same trials and tribulations just like us, was an outsider and an outcast in his own town. Father, as we remember these things, as we remember all of the journey from the manger to the cross, as we remember what he said and what he did, Father, let that change our lives. Let this message of redemption just run so deep in our veins that we wake up living a life like we're redeemed, focused on you. Help us to live this life of long obedience in the same direction, day after day, moment after moment. Help us to live like we're redeemed, Father. That is our prayer this morning. We pray it in your son's name. Amen.